1 Peter chapter 1. I'm not sure who here remembers their favorite subject, maybe in high school or, you know, if you had some other kind of schooling. Maybe some of you are still studying. And, you know, your favorite subject, whether it's, I don't know, maybe it's you know, a gym class or you know, whatever it may be, chemistry, history, I don't know. But my favorite subjects were usually the things that I was good at, amen, that I enjoyed doing and where I felt successful at. And there was one subject in particular, though, where I really struggled many times. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it was a lack of interest at times. Maybe it was sometimes the teaching style, maybe both, but of my teacher. But math was usually not my favorite subject. And I think one of the main reasons for that was because it didn't make sense to me. It did not make sense to me. And so I could memorize the formulas. I could just, you know, apply them the best I knew. But I remember when I would prepare for a big exam, a big test, I would ask my brother, math was his strength, and so I would ask him to help me. And he would explain the formulas in a way that I would understand, and all of a sudden it started to make sense. Things started clicking, and all of a sudden it almost became fun. You know, I'm not sure if that's a safe thing to say, that math can be fun, you know, but at the same time, you know, once it started to make sense, and once I learned not just you know, something memorized here, this is how you write down the thing. No, once I not just knew the formula, but I knew why the formula was this way, and then I could apply it in just about any case and any problem the exam would throw at me, right? And many times I think in the Christian life we struggle with things and we maybe dislike things because we don't truly understand them. One of the reasons maybe because it's not really taught very much anymore. One of the major aspects of the Christian life that you find quite a surprising emphasis throughout our New Testament is the area of personal separation for the believer, of how to live a new life in this old sin-cursed world that we are still in. And so that's why we are in our Sunday school series and our discipleship course. We want to continue looking at some of the major principles that explains the area of separation to us. And this morning we looked at 1 Peter chapter 1. We've looked last week in the book of James of not being a friend of the world, but rather a friend of God. We've looked at Romans chapter 12 on how to renew our mind and to not be conformed to the world, but rather be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this morning, when we look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 there, my prayer is that similarly to what happened to me before my math exam, that we wouldn't just you know, look for a list of, okay, how do I look like a Christian? How the do's and don'ts of a Christian life? But that we would have a desire in our heart to understand the principles. Because once we understand the principles, no matter what situation we're facing, no matter what area of your life or my life I look at, I will be able to apply those principles in any case. If I understand them and if I receive them from the Holy Spirit in the Word of God here. And we see here in 1 Peter chapter 1 how the believer is not to be fashioning himself according to his former lusts, as Peter calls it, his former lusts. And I want to read then verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's several aspects in this verse. One of them here, I believe, refers back to your salvation. So obviously, you first need to be saved. Amen? If you're not a new creature in Christ, a lot of the things about the Christian life will obviously not make sense to you. And will also seem very strange and very boring. Obviously, because you don't have the new life of God in you. So first of all, you need to get saved, amen? Verse 14. Now, after salvation, not in order to get saved, after salvation, it goes on to say, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Conversation is the different areas of our life, our behaviors. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So that's, of course, the Lord talking there. It's a reference to the Old Testament. Here we see the area of obedience. But then notice verse 17 as we continue. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Say, fear of what? Well, fear of God. A holy awe, a holy reverence and respect for my Father in heaven. The fear of God, more than it is the fear of, you know, getting, you know, beaten down with a big sledgehammer of God's judgment, is most and foremost the fear of displeasing my Father, of not wanting to displease Him, because I love Him who loved me so much, amen. And so we see here salvation, obedience, and I believe the motivation really for our obedience, and that is the right perspective of God. It is the fear of God. Let's pray before we move on. Dear Father in heaven, I want to ask for your help this morning. Lord, I certainly need your help, Lord, in teaching the principles of your word. Lord, I certainly need your help in living these principles myself. And Father, how we ask for your wisdom, for your guidance and your counsel in our life today. Lord, I pray that we'd have open and humble and willing hearts to receive how you guide and instruct our lives. And Father, I pray that you would just strengthen our minds. You would open up our hearts and help us to focus on your word now. We love you, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to understand what the New Testament's principle of separation all involves, I believe we need to look at those three spiritual realities here that are all described in 1 Peter chapter 1 here. First of all, again, you need to be saved. Every true child of God, the Bible says, is a new creature in Christ. Amen. Behold, all things have passed away. All things have become new. Now, it doesn't mean that overnight you become the perfect picture book Christian. Amen. you and I know that. But it does mean that you're a new creation. You're a new being in Jesus Christ. You now have a spiritual life that you did not have before. Praise the Lord. And so with that, the Spirit of God will bit by bit change your desires, and he will urge you more and more to want to obey His word. And all you have to do in that is yield to that change, amen? Yield to that urging of the Spirit of God. So when a child of God walks in obedience to the Lord, our motivation will be a higher purpose, will be something greater than just living for my own pleasure. And that's already where we find a significant difference there in how we used to be fashioned. We used to follow just the lusts of our former ignorance. Amen. That's my pleasure, whatever made me feel good, whatever I liked, used to be my default position. But now as a Christian, we have a higher calling. We now are called to walk in obedience to the Lord. Now, obeying God isn't really that difficult when it is my passion in life. Amen? You know, somebody who is a passionate golfer, you don't have to drag them out to the golf course. I mean, I'm stunned sometimes. You know, I live close to the golf course there on Tillicum Road. And know, I couldn't care less for golf, to be honest. You know, if you like golfing, God bless you. But, I'd rather take a nap or watch the grass grow, you know. But you know what? I'm amazed. There's golfers out there in just pouring rain at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning. Because obviously that's a passion for them. They love that. They truly enjoy that. Amen. And you know what? When you and I love something, when it becomes our passion in life to please the Lord who's glorious, who's amazing, who's wonderful, who's beautiful in His holiness, who's magnificent, who's greater than all everything else we could love in this world. Amen. He's a fairer than the lilies. Amen. As the old song says, shouldn't that become my passion? Amen. To want to please Him who created all things and who's redeemed me. Notice there again in verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now, when we walk in the fear of the Lord, the Bible says that we'll also have wisdom. Did you know that? Let's turn over to Psalm 111. You know, so many times believers ask, oh, how can I know God's will for me? How can I know, you know, is this okay? Is that okay? Should I be doing that? Should I not be doing that? And, you know, one or two very basic principles in regards to that, of course, are ask yourself, well, is this, honestly, ask yourself, is this getting me closer to God or is it rather getting me further away? Is it distracting me from Him? If it is the latter, it most likely isn't God's will. Amen. you know, ask yourself this old question, you know, used to be very popular, right? What would Jesus do? You know, that's why we study the Gospel of Mark, for example, there on Sunday nights, because we want to know, well, what would Jesus do? Amen. What did He do? Amen. How does He think? What makes, what are His passions, His goals and desires? And so, in Psalm 111 and verse 10, we read this. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Boy, we could have a whole lesson just on that verse, to be honest. Let's read it again. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I cannot understand God's way and God's will for my life if I don't have the right perspective of the Lord. Amen. But notice it says it's the beginning of wisdom. Amen. That's just only where it begins. Because really, what we find all throughout the New Testament, folks, this aspect of separation, as we call it, is, very practical in one sense, but it is also very spiritual in another sense, in the way that it really flows out of my relationship with Jesus. Once again, if you're looking for a Christianity that's just a list of do's and don'ts, I mean, you know, we could gladly give you that, but it won't be a very spiritual, very passionate kind of Christianity. It's only the beginning of wisdom. Your wisdom grows and increases as your perspective of the Lord, your knowledge of the Lord increases as well. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments. There's so many times in my life where I have been at point of decisions in regards to different areas of my life. You know, I remember a few years back, the Lord convicted me about some of the music I was involved in. And I really felt that a lot of the music, even when it was somewhat Christianese, still wasn't really honoring to the Lord. I was listening more to the world's music than to, the music that would elevate the Lord. It was more about me than Him. And so I decided I'm going to get rid of all of that. But that was tough. That was tough. And when I prayed about that, I said, you know what, Lord, I don't really understand about all of this. Why you exalt music such as hymns and that emphasize the melody. Why, you know, some of the things in the world are dangerous for me. But you know what? I'm going to trust you for now. I'm going to trust you for now. And even when my feelings somehow sometimes feel different, I'm just going to trust you. And folks, it was just a few months later, I remember just driving and just randomly turning on the radio and some of my former favorite songs turned on. And I was cringing inside because God had changed my desires. God had changed my taste even. And God had increased my understanding and my wisdom. And I realized that these things are about exalting the flesh and not exalting the Spirit of God in me. A good understanding of all they that do His commandments. So when I get the perspective that the Lord has, when I increase in spiritual wisdom, I will look at things in this world through the eyes of the Lord more and more. For example, that, you know, gorgeous looking Hollywood star, you know, I will recognize that, you know what, in the eyes of the Lord, the way this person behaves and acts is really a foolish woman. Proverbs chapter 11 compares to a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. It says there, Proverbs 11:22, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Or she may be beautifully looking, a talented singer, actor, whatever else. But folks, she doesn't have discretion, which is talking about prudence, on what's proper, acting controlled, or having wise judgment. Which, if she doesn't have a godly character, is not of very much spiritual value, is it? You know, instead of craving after the cool crowd that mocks the Lord in their appearance or in their music and in their words, I will recognize that, you know what, I'm following fools that unfortunately are bound to an eternity in hell. Instead of being enticed by some of these addictive substances, you know, whether it be alcohol or drugs or pornography, or even, you know, some people get very easily addicted to video games, whatever it may be that takes control of my life instead of the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? The more I increase in my relationship with Jesus, the more I get godly wisdom, I'll recognize, you know what? These things, these movies, this entertainment, maybe even this hobby that's taking me away from church or from my family, these things are polluting my soul. That's what sin does, amen? You know, instead of the comedian or the entertainer that I used to think was so funny, I realized that their language is filthy, their language is blasphemous, and I don't have a desire for it anymore. I consider it pathetic now, and I turn it off. A good understanding is a product of the fear of God increasing in my life. So then verse 50, we go on to see how the Christian, as he grows in his walk with the Lord, will more and more have a desire to be separated, to walk in the Lord's way in every area of their life. Why? Well, because God wants to restore that image that He originally has created us in. Amen? You're made in the image of God this morning. That is pretty amazing, amen? That's a privilege that nothing else in this creation has. And you and I were originally designed to reflect His glory. And to display the holiness of His character. And so when we are not fashioning ourselves according to our former lusts, according to the ignorance, amen, when I didn't have spiritual wisdom, when I didn't know better, when I just followed along with what everybody else did, now as I increase in the fear of the Lord, as I increase in spiritual wisdom, I learn and grow and recognize better. And I don't want to follow those former lusts, those former fashions and behaviors and molds anymore. Now, folks, it is important that what I focus on. You know, I won't increase in the fear of the Lord. I won't increase in spiritual wisdom. I won't increase in good understanding and in practicing the principles of holiness and separation that God teaches me in the different areas of my life if I keep my eyes and I keep my focus upon the world. Right? It's kind of like when I remember when I was learning swimming back in whatever elementary, middle school, whatever it was, and you know, I was getting to the end of the lane. I was like so proud. Yeah, I finished my first lane, so exciting. But also I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna hit the wall. And so I'm looking out to my teacher on the side. I'm like, how do I steer around? You know? And I remember the teacher was just saying, hey, you just turn your head. You know, wherever you're looking at, that's where you're gonna end up swimming. And it was, spiritually, it's the same thing in our life too. Folks, if I constantly, 24/7, and, you know, just scrolling in the world, just, you know, opening up my eye gates on YouTube or Netflix or whatever it is, to the world, which is so easy to do. Folks, these things are created, by scientists to be addictive. And they're not hiding that at all. I mean, they're making billions and trillions of every second that you give them attention. Amen. And so, we have to understand that if I give the influence of the world in my mind and in my focus, my eyesight, you know, I don't know, 30, 40 or more hours a week. And then, you know, 25.387 minutes, you know, of my whole week for the Lord, you know, for my 2-minute Bible reading every day and. And, you know, being in church for maybe half an hour to 40 minutes once a week. Well, I won't increase in godliness. I'll increase in worldliness, in carnality, because, you know, that's what my main influence is. Amen. That's where my attention, my focus is upon. You know, that's why Hebrews chapter 12 says what? Looking upon Jesus. Amen. The author and finisher of my faith. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12 that I need to be renewed in my mind and I shouldn't be conformed to the world. I rather should be transformed into the image of Christ. Amen. So the believer is not to be patterned their life after the sinful or vain ways of the system of rebellion against God in the world. Folks, the world wants to shape us into the pattern, the mold, so to speak, that is designed by no one else but the God of this world. Who knows what the God of this world is currently? Who's the God of this world currently? Satan. Uh-huh. I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. Because the world looks super attractive. You know? And we live in the world, of course. You know, I mean, we can't just, you know, go maybe put up a colony on Mars somewhere, you know. we have to recognize, though, that we need to increase in spiritual wisdom. We need to increase in the fear of the Lord and keep our perspective right upon the Lord. If we want to not fashion ourselves anymore after those things that are vain, after those things that kept us in bondage, those things that well, really hurt and destroyed our life spiritually. Why would we want to stay, or why would we want to keep going back to the pit or the vomit, if you will, as Proverbs explains it, that the Lord saved me out of? Amen. And you see, so the more I learn to look at that, and the more I learn to live my life according to biblical principles, the less I will need a list of do's and don'ts. Amen. Because God will fashion my thinking and fashion my desires more and more to how He sees the world and how He desires in my life. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're reminded there in verse 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had, past tense, amen, had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So Peter reminds us there in 1 Peter chapter 1, to be willing to separate ourselves, to be willing to change from those former lusts of our ignorance and say, hey, now I'm learning better. Now I'm growing, now my understanding increases, and I now can do different because Christ enables me. The more knowledgeable the believer becomes of God's way in the Bible, the wiser we will become in the eyes, not of the world, but of God. Amen. And the less we will want to walk in the world's foolish ways. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Then verse 8, where we're called to be sober. That means to be clear-headed. Amen? Don't be controlled by anything or anyone else. Be sober. Be vigilant. In other words, be on guard. Amen? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom he resists steadfast in the faith. Folks, I will not become a godly Christian by default, by just, singing some nice good Christian songs and, memorizing John 3:16 and praying a prayer before my meals. It will take some dedication. It'll take some resisting steadfast. That means continually in the faith. Amen. By being vigilant. Because I recognize, not in fear, not in paranoia, not in, seeing the devil behind every bush. But at the same time, I'm also not ignorant anymore that there is an enemy of my soul who seeks to devour, to harm and hurt me. Amen. And he will lie and deceive to me all day long. The devil is like a good fisherman. Did you know that? He'll try to make his lure as attractive as possible. There's so many things we think, well, the evil of this world, it'll be, some violent gang member, or some, brutal criminal or something really terrible, But you know what? Usually the devil tries to lure us in first very attractively. And so as I grow, though, in spiritual wisdom, I learn more and more how to be vigilant. I learn more and more how to be on guard and recognize his lures before they snatch me, amen? And say, you know what? I used to do that. Used to be how I was fashioned, amen? How I had lived my life, but now I know better. I'm not in ignorance anymore. You know what? It is okay for a Christian to correct themselves. Did you know that? Matter of fact, that's what the Christian life is all about. To keep growing, to keep learning more. It's kind of like driving on a curvy highway, amen? If you go a little bit up Highland there, past Machosen, up Souk, I thought many times, man, if I'd had this nice, couple hundred horsepower motorbike, this would be so fun because it's such a nice curvy road. But, a curvy road means you constantly have to adjust, right? You constantly have to adjust. And, folks, the same thing is true in our Christian life. We need to constantly adjust and learn and grow. And so the more I learn and grow, the more I want to gird up the loins of my mind. In other words, I'm ready. Amen. I'm ready for action. I'm ready for battle, so to speak. And I rather yield my mind not to the vain, the sensual, the deceiving things of the world anymore. No, now I yield my life to the ways of the Lord. And then lastly, then verse 13, I find that interesting, 1 Peter chapter 1. I believe we are reminded of the Lord's return. Let me look then, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you know that the Lord is coming back, folks? Amen. And you know what? I really, truly believe that it's rather sooner than later. I really do. And how about you? But that motivates me. That makes me want to get serious about this. And, you know, maybe that's part of just maturing. But I remember, you know, just a few years ago, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, I was just thinking, oh, you know, my life is going to be so long. Oh, I'm, you know, I can get that right later. I can deal with this, you know, at some other point. Or you know, I'm not taking this too serious. But folks, in the last few years, man alive, have we ever seen the puzzle pieces fall in place? And praise God for it, because I think it's really gotten a big wake-up call for a lot of believers that realize, man, I may not have 25, 35 years to, you know, figure out my Christian life at some point or another and get serious about God. Because He may come back before the end of this week. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Shouldn't surprise any Christian. Amen?
No.
Now, are you and I going to be ready? We can be. We ought to be. Amen? And it ought to motivate me to want to be ready and to live in vigilance for the Lord's, to be ready for the Lord's imminent return. So if I know what the evil fashion of this world is, of the former lusts, I now, and which is going to be judged by the Lord, when He returns, He will destroy the system of rebellion in this world. Well, why would I want to keep in that? Why would I want to keep falling that? Amen. As a believer, I can now make the decision to live separated unto the Lord. Now, I'll be honest with you, that will make you strange sometimes. And so it'll take a little bit of spiritual backbone. Amen. Say, hey, you know what? We're going to be different than all the rest of our family. We're going to be different than, you know, all the other people around us. But hey, you know what? So what? Jesus never fit in anywhere. Why should His followers? Matter of fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, we're called strangers and pilgrim in this world. Amen. That's what that sojourning. That's somebody who just travels, who's just on the road through. Amen. They are not at home here. And so I want to encourage you to take up that high calling, that privilege of a pilgrim lifestyle that says, you know what, following God's design, following God's desires and fashions is more important to me than what the world expects me. On Instagram, what the world expects me on Twitter or TikTok or whatever is more important than the money, the success, the love and the praise, the friendships, the fitting in, whatever it may be that the world has to offer to me, the sinful pleasures that are for a season, and then just leave me empty and miserable. You know what? I want something better. I want something different. And I believe, because I fear God, not just that He may come back for me soon and I'll have to give an account to Him, but also because I love Him and He loves me and I want to please Him. That, you know what? I have a desire and I want to learn more about His ways for my life. So folks, whenever we read our Bible, and especially particularly in the New Testament, you know, Ephesians 4 and 5, the book of Colossians, so many other scripture passages, we find practical steps on how to live the Christian life. Let's not be afraid of that. Let's go look at this and say, how does this apply to all the areas of my life? Because I want to follow King Jesus. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank You so much for loving us. And Lord, I pray that You would truly help us, Lord, to humble ourselves and to love You more than the fashions of this world. Lord, the lusts of this world will pass away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Lord, help us to make following King Jesus our passion. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to be sometimes separated from this world in order to be separated unto You. Lord, give us Your wisdom as we seek to apply these principles in all the different areas of our life, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll take a bit of a break and then get into more.